Are you ready?
All right. Yeah. Oh, I might say you're too. Single.
Just don't
be normal.
Just be as normal as possible.
This is my normal.
Just well, that's fine.
Be you.
Gentlemen, welcome to episode 3. Who we got with me today?
Branson
and Liam.
Liam, what's your role at Word of God?
I'm a student here at Word of God Academy. I'm also an athlete.
What do you play?
Basketball.
Basketball, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do a little track and field at one time?
I did.
Yeah? How'd that go?
Didn't go as well as I planned.
didn't go what you thought?
Yeah.
Branson, what you got, buddy? What's going on at Word of God for you?
I'm a student. I'm on worship team. I'm on drumline. I did a little bit of field. Yeah.
You did a little bit of field? Mm-hmm. Like you're talking about track and field?
Track and field, yeah.
Okay, there we go. What do you do on track and field?
I threw discus.
Threw discus, nice. What's your role on the worship team?
I'm an electric one player.
Okay. For people that don't know anything about worship, can you dumb that down for us?
Okay, I play electric guitar.
Hit any solos yet?
I'll make my own sometimes. Not that much, but
You just go up there and make your own solos?
Sometimes.
Luke just lets you.
He doesn't know that I do that.
Okay. All right. What else is going on at Word of God that y'all want to talk about before we dive into the subject of how to avoid being a bad spiritual leader?
Homecoming's coming up.
Homecoming. I was just about to say, last Friday, I witnessed about 4 homecoming dates go down.
Blue and white game's coming up.
Blue and white game.
Yep.
That's our annual kickoff to basketball season where we have a nice scrimmage against each other and then we go out and have a bonfire with food trucks and that type of stuff. Are y'all looking forward to homecoming?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Branson, what age are you? You're a sophomore?
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore. Liam, what about you?
Sophomore.
Sophomore. All right. So, gentlemen, like I said, welcome to episode 3. I can't believe we're already into the 3rd episode of this thing. Y'all came up with the topic, how to avoid being a bad spiritual leader. This is going to kind of close off that spiritual leadership topic we've kind of had right now. We're going to go into fall break next week, so we'll take a little break with this. But before we do, Liam,
yes.
What are your thoughts on the first kind of 2 episodes of the guys and girls talking about being a spiritual leader, the characteristics of being a spiritual leader? How has that impacted you at all?
I feel as though it gave me a better understanding of everything they talked about, how they talked about fake Christians, false Christians, and true born-again Christians. And so I got a better understanding of all that and the characteristics of everything.
Branson, what about you?
I think they hit all the points very well. It gave me an idea of what to look for. Like if I'm friends with somebody that's a false or fake Christian, I know the characteristics of that. Also, I can question myself: am I a true Christian? You know.
Like, so it gave you some like guidelines or a roadmap to kind of check yourself
right.
Where you are in your walk. I was interested because last week when I was sitting here talking, I was like, man, I'm sitting here talking with 2 young females. I wonder what the males think about some of these same questions. So maybe we might, you know, revamp episode 2 one day and bring all the guys in and kind of ask some of the same questions. Who are the leaders that y'all follow? Those types of things. But today we're going to get into how to avoid being a bad leader in that spiritual field. So Branson, go ahead and dive in and give us some things on how not to be a bad spiritual leader. What are we going to avoid?
What are we going to avoid?
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to give off like the wrong like advice, because you can't just give your own worldly advice. There's always scripture to back it up, you know, because if you say your worldly advice, you don't know if you're really right, you know? Like,
you don't know if that's the truth or
not. You don't know if that's the truth. You're just saying what you think. That is most of the times not the best thing, because, you know, Jesus has given these parables, you know, of like these scenarios that have happened and like...
Liam, what do you think?
I think that how to avoid being a bad spiritual leader, you need to make sure you have your faith and your understanding of the word down packed before you go looking for people to help, because you don't want to guide them the wrong way because you're not in the right path yet.
I got you. All right, Branson, you brought up parables. I'll just give you a second to get your thoughts back so we can jump to Liam with parables. I heard something cool. I heard a pastor say one time that just stuck with me, that he thinks if Jesus was actually walking the earth today, that he would be a film producer and someone that makes films, because he taught in parables, and that's kind of what they are. They're stories. So I was like, that's a cool way to think about it. And so when you get into parables, go ahead and just kind of finish that thought of what you were saying right there.
Well, I mean, in the end, it was really going to tie down with what Liam was saying. Like, you want to have your own thoughts down to, like, you know what is truth, you know? Like, you don't want to go try and lead tons of people when you don't even know if you're right or not. You don't have your facts down, you know? I have the scripture, Acts 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to take care of for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So really, it's just, he's telling us to take care of ourselves, right? And take care of the people that follow us. Because whether you think it or not, you are a leader. You are a leader in some type of ways. People are watching you, you know? Like, even if you think, you know, you're like you're really like just a quiet one sitting back in class, people are watching you, you know, and that makes you a leader. The Holy Spirit has made you like an overseer. Like, I'm gonna let Liam take that one over.
Well, so even if you're like, you're not where you want to be in your faith, people still look at you, and people still, they may think that you look like better than them. So you just, when you're being a leader, you just have to know that people are watching you and be a good example for everyone around you.
Right. It kind of reminds me of what y'all are talking about, the story and the scripture that pops in my head is Paul talking to Timothy. Mm-hmm. And he's telling him, you know, hey, don't let your youth be this restriction on you leading these people or leading this church and that type of thing. And I kind of, like, growing up, I kind of felt that just because of sports and that type of thing. And y'all are walking a different road than I did, of these young Christians trying to lead people in a school and then a different church that you go to or a youth group that you go to, that type of thing. That's an interesting point. That's an interesting revelation that y'all are having with this, that doesn't matter what's going on. Like you said, someone's always watching. How does that make you feel, though? Like, does that put pressure on you? Do you like that pressure? Does it keep you accountable? Like, what are you thinking? Take us through, like, your mind when you sit down in class and you're like, man, you think of that thought. Someone's always watching.
It does make me feel pressured in a way, but it makes me feel pressured in a good way. Like, you want to aim to always be better. You want to aim to, like, always be, like, you want to be yourself, but be a better version of yourself. Don't change who you are, but you can change, you know, the wrong actions that you do, you know. I want to say another scripture. Actually, let me go back to what you said about don't let your youth be a restriction. You know, people always think, like, I'm too young to be, like, I'm too young to be a leader. There's no way I can be a leader. I don't even do anything. Like, I'm too young to lead, to even, like, preach. No, like, you can be, like, okay, I'm 15, and, I've tried to help people, right? And they said, I mean, it blessed me that I knew that I have helped some people, you know? Even if it was just, like, even if I just gave them a compliment, you know? Like, it showed me that you are a leader, you know? No matter, how old you are, you're always a leader. I wanted to say one scripture, 1 Timothy 3:5. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the God's church? So, like, household is like your family, you know? It's saying, like, how can you help your family and, like, your friends basically. Oh, I'm sorry. If you can't help your own household and your own family and friends, how can you care and like help the people in the world, you know? Because if you can't help your own family, how can you expect to do something greater than that, you know?
And I wanted to expound on Branson talking about not letting your youth hold you back, because I've seen people, younger people, influence me in my life, and I've seen myself influence older people. Even like my mom or my dad, sometimes you got to hold them accountable. So like, because everybody makes mistakes, and so just hold everyone accountable, even if they're older, younger. So don't let your youth change the way you act.
How do you view someone that makes a mistake in your life, and they, and some of you looked up to, and they're leading you in your spiritual walk, and they make a big mistake, and something comes out about them, you're like, oh man, I didn't even know that. How does that affect you? And you're saying, Liam, everyone makes mistakes, that type of thing. How does that affect you as a young teenage guy? Does it break trust? Do you really dive into that foundation of, yeah, man, everyone does make mistakes, we got to show grace and mercy here, that type of thing? How does that make you feel right there?
Well, for me, it's like, yes, everyone makes mistakes. And when you see those mistakes, you should tell them upright that's not what you should have done in that situation. But you should also give them encouragement to keep going, and that other people are watching them, so they know how to not make that mistake again.
let me think. So, yes, people do make mistakes, but, give me a second.
All
right, sorry, gentlemen, had a little technical difficulties there. So, Branson, where were you at with that thought you were going with?
I was going to say, it is like, people do make mistakes, but you can't easily follow somebody too quick, you know, because... No, not everybody's perfect, but people generally don't have the like right mindset all the time. So you have to be careful about who you follow and what actions they make, because it can also affect you even if you don't realize it.
So let's go down that road with social media. A lot of us don't actually know the people that we're following.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Influencers or that type of thing. So how do you judge whether to hit that follow button or subscribe button not too fast?
Well, you generally want to go back to what God's word says, because you always have to back what people say or what you say with God's word, because God's word is truth.
Wait, what do you think when you go on social media?
Yeah.
You're good in social media, and you're trying to, you know, maybe find a preacher that you like, or you find this youth guy that's... We got a bunch of reels that got some good one-liners in there. You're like, oh man, this makes me feel kind of good. Like, how do you, instead of, you know, hitting that subscribe or like button, what do you do to like pause for a second, gather your thoughts, kind of walk us through your process of social media, of who you're going to follow and who you're not going to follow?
Well, you always got to not like analyze them too deeply, but kind of go and look at some of the stuff they say and see if they truly mean it, and you have to look in the word and see if what they're saying is right, or just know that that's right or wrong, so you could follow them. And so, because you don't want to follow the wrong person and then get advice that's not spiritual. So yeah.
Okay, all right, so I walked around today, pulled some teachers for y'all to see what they said about how to avoid being a bad spiritual leader. So we got 1, 2, 3, we got 4 teachers on here. I'm going to read you their quotes, and then y'all are just going to discuss, you know, what that makes you think about in here, okay? So one teacher said they have to be honest with their self and where they are actually at in their walk with the Lord. Another one says, you can't just turn it on Sundays and Wednesdays. You've got to be consistent with your walk. If you can't ask Jesus to bless it, then don't do it. I think y'all know who that one was. Be honest with others. Take notes on what other people are doing and on other leaders. And you've got to read the Bible. Got to read the Bible. So out of those four, just some thoughts.
All of those were really great points. But some of those points, I thought of something, and it's having authentic faith. You can't just have faith on Sundays and Wednesdays when you're at church. And you can't be a fake or false Christian to be a spiritual leader. So you have to have authentic faith, be in the Word, and just have that switch on all the time, even when no one's watching. So, yeah.
I was going to say the same thing as Liam was going to say. But, like, you can't just, like, okay, you, I always forget the word, but you have, like, I'm just going to use the word passion. I don't know if that's right. You have, like, this, like, passion, like, every Wednesday and Sunday, like, oh, I'm going to go to church today, and I'm going to do good today, right? And, like, and you're like, God, all right, I'm going to follow you from now on, like, yeah, I'm just going to follow you, I'm going to submit my life to you, right? And then you go to church that day, it's a really good day, you know, you get a really good word from it, you took a lot of notes, and then you don't go to church for a month, you're, like, not in the word at all. You're like, you know what, I'm going to go to church today, I actually submit my life to you. You go, good word, and then you don't read the word, don't meditate at all for another month. You can't just be like this off and on Christian, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go to church. Oh, and then you just don't go for another month. You have to be consistent in God's word. And I get that some days you like, you literally can't at all. Like maybe you're busy, but yeah.
I think one of the main things with that is when you're talking about consistency, but it's also you have to show that you are bearing the fruits of the Spirit,
right,
throughout your life, month after month, week after week, month after month, and then kind of year after year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's be honest, I've lived a little longer than y'all have. Some of those seasons, that tree is drier, and there's less fruit because of some of the seasons that we're going through. But I think that's one of those big things that, who are you clicking follow to? Are they showing the fruits of the Spirit? Do they have those qualities in them? Man, what, Brenz, you keep talking about sermons and good words and sermons. What, I'm going to hit you with a hard question right here. What do you deem as a good sermon?
What do you mean?
What do you think is a good sermon?
What do I think is a good sermon?
Because what I think of a good sermon might not be what you think is a good sermon.
Like the topic? Like what the topic?
Anything. Yeah.
If we're talking like about a topic for a good sermon, I think temptation is a very good topic of a sermon because you can stretch it very far. You know, like you could, there's so many verses on temptation. I cannot quote them right now, but I think a good sermon would be talking about temptation because we always get tempted, you know, in life. If it's whether to say something, whether to look at something, let's just be real, you know, like anything can really just be a temptation, you know?
All right. So what Branson was talking about, how what he thinks is a good sermon, and I just want to add some more points to that. Like when some preachers, you don't want a sermon that dulls it down and keeps it all, God loves you. And I mean, yes, that's true, but you need to feel conviction through that sermon. So I believe that when the preacher talks about harder topics and kind of puts you on the spot, you feel a conviction in your heart, and that's what's going to spark a change in your life, not just them reading from the Bible, but them reading and relaying it to real world stuff that's happening and in your life and everyone's life.
So, yeah, I mean, Branson, it reminds me of the story of Mark 4 when Jesus teaches this first parable of the sower. And it says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones among the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown to them. Then it goes in, and in verse 16, it talks about, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, and they immediately fall away. So those are the ones you're talking about, you know, man, that was such a good word. And then they disappear for a month. Or right. you hear something, maybe you're listening to a different podcast or a sermon series from something, you're like, man, that was such an inspiring word that really got conviction in me. And then boom, Satan comes and takes it from you. So I think that's kind of what that reminds me of, what you're talking about, of someone hearing the word, dedicating their life to what Jesus is teaching, and then boom, they disappear again.
Right.
For really no rhyme or reason other than what the word says, Satan comes and takes that word from you. Closing, is there anything else that you gentlemen want to discuss on, you know, maybe step by step or something like that on how young teenagers can avoid being a bad spiritual leader?
There was one thing I've been wanting to say. You don't want to force what you want to say to people, because people just generally, they do not care. They're very lost. They don't realize it. They think that they're, you know, like they're okay with life, but they're really lost. You don't want to force what you have to say to them. If they don't want to hear it, I guess leave them alone about it. It's like you either plant the seed or you water it, you know, you don't do anything else, you know? So if they don't want to hear what you want to have to say, then I guess just don't say what you have to say.
Lee, you got any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I've got one more point. So leaders, they need to not manipulate people, but lead them. Because some people, they use that title as a leader to get what they want, to get their will for their life and not the will that God has for them or the will that God has for the people they're leading. So they need to either plant that seed in people or help nurture that seed to grow them closer to the word and grow them closer to the will of God. So, yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you. Branson, we're talking about social media. Where can people find you on social media if they want to follow you?
Instagram.
What's your handle? What's your name?
Oh, Branson.
just first name, just at Branson?
Branson Gomez,
all right. You don't even have Instagram?
Oh, no. I thought you were telling me to say my name. My bad.
No, if people listening to this want to follow you and see who you are on social media as a good spiritual leader, I was trying to give them a chance.
Oh, my name is Branson Gomez, also known as the Rizzler. This is Liam Rayford.
Oh, no.
He is the Rizziest of all.
No.
We just lost everybody on that. Do you have social media?
Yeah, I have social media.
Okay, what is your Instagram handle?
Liam underscore.
Start over.
Rayford 08.
All right, any other way that anyone can find you on social media? That's it?
That's it.
All right.
You can't find me anywhere.
Appreciate it, gentlemen.
Hey, y'all. I'm Eva.
I'm Abigail.
And I'm Micah.
Not next week, but the next, we'll be back from break, and we'll be talking about spiritual safe places, how to find one for yourself, and how to be one for others.
We'll see y'all then.
Make sure to tune in.